the one hand, you can't do mitzvot while the dead are there because you're making a mockery of them. On the other hand, you have the mitzvah to do chesed with them, kindness to the dead. The mitzvah to do kindness to the dead. So we're in the Gemara over here, page Yudchet Amud Aleph, and we're discussing the idea of the mitzvah of levaya. What is levaya? Levaya is to accompany. We talk about a levaya, which is a funeral, but it's not really a funeral. Levaya means to accompany. We find there's different kinds of accompanying. There's a mitzvah to accompany your visitors. Someone comes to your house, there's a mitzvah to accompany them on the way out, especially if they're leaving town. If they're leaving town, you have to accompany them. You have to walk 6 feet out the house with them to show that they are part of your community and people you care about them, so no one else will interfere with them. So the mitzvah levaya, to accompany guests. And that's, we see Avraham Avinu planted eshel. What's an eshel? Achila, shtiya, and levaya, which is accompanying. You accompany them, guests. So there's also a mitzvah to accompany the deceased. The person passes away, it's a mitzvah to accompany. That's where the Gemara starts off. We're in the middle of page Yudchet Amud Aleph, in the middle of it. Okay, and the Gemara says, and we had a discussion about wearing tzitzit in the talit in the bet kavod in the cemetery. And then we had a discussion about carrying the bones on the back of the donkey. You'll have to carry bones on the back of the donkey. Remember, we talked about it last week. Okay, so moving on. Amar Rachava, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rachava says the name Rabbi Yehuda, Kol ha-ro'eh ha-met, a person who sees a dead body, ve'enu malveu, and does not accompany him, does not do the mitzvah levaya. You've got to accompany him at least 6 feet. You see a coffin passing by, you've got to walk behind the coffin, six feet. For a month. A person does not do that, lo'eg la'rash cherev asehu. He is transgressing this mitzvah, we said, from Mishlei, from Proverbs. Shlomo Melech says, making a mockery of a poor person is disgracing the Creator. So the question is, how is a person disgracing the Creator by not following a dead person? What's it going to do with it? So the answer is, because he doesn't believe that God will repay him for the mitzvah. Right? The dead person, he can't repay me. So why am I going to do it for? Well, I believe that God created him. If God created him, God can reward me. So if I don't believe in God, I'm not going to do anything for this dead person, right? Why do we do mitzvah for dead people? And the answer is, God, we believe in God. And God will repay us. So the person says, you know what, I don't care about the dead person. I'm not going to do anything for the dead person. It's like he doesn't believe in God. So cheref osehu. It's like he's making a mockery of his creator. So, I don't believe God is the creator.
Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu.
Hashem is the one. Chesed. Hashem loves this idea of chesed to the living and to the dead.
What about dead animals?
Dead animals, no, there's no mitzvah. There's mitzvah for not causing contamination and not causing disease. But that's there's no real kavod of an animal in terms of a dead animal.
Outside of a body that's just by itself, what's special about this as opposed to any other mitzvah?
What's special about this is that it's a very high... Okay, so let's define. So different levels of mitzvot. Some mitzvot are between man and man, and some between man and God. So over here, this would really be... Is it man and man or man and God?
Man and God, if he's by himself.
If he's dead, it's right. Man and God.
If nobody else is there, nobody right. Can see you do this.
Right. But if it's man and man, then if there's relatives, they're comforting the mourners as well, in a sense, by helping. So it's two mitzvot. So double mitzvot. But it's a very, very important mitzvah, because it shows I believe that he's my creator, and I believe God will reward me. I believe in God. So it's a pure proof of God. Why? Because there's no other reason to do this mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Why else would a person do this mitzvah? Okay, so we are moving on. So it's very important to accompany a dead person. So mascharo, what is the reward? Amar Abashi Rashi says, Alava Katu Amer, over there in Mishlei, in chapter 19, verse 417, Malve Hashem Chonen Dal, Ugmalo Yishalem Lo. So Malve Hashem, the person who lends money to God. So the Gemara says, don't read lend money, but read Levaya. Malve and the word Levaya, accompanying, and malve is similar language, right? So a person who accompanies a dead person, a person who looks after this dead person who is considered a pauper, because no one, he can't pay you back. There's no one more a pauper than a dead person. A person who lends him money, or accompanies him, is as if he lent Hashem money. Amazing. And a person who helps a person who is poor, it's like he's honoring God. So a person is poor, again, a person is poor, can't give you back. You're helping him, he can't pay you back. So what are you doing for? You're doing for God. So you're honoring God. Now we come to a story. And we're starting off this, kicking off the stories regarding dead people, okay? Coming to cemeteries. Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yonatan. We said Rabbi Chiya was a very, very great man. Rabbi Chiya was either the rabbi of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi or the student of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. It's not clear. There's a machlok in the Gemara. It's interesting debate. Who saw who die? It's interesting, Gemara. Who saw who die? Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yonatan were walking through the cemetery. But Beit HaKvarot. Hava kashadia techelta de Rabbi Yonatan. The tzitzit of Rabbi Yonatan, the techelet, which is the blue thread. In those days, still have blue dye around the thread. And the blue thread of the tzitzit of Rabbi Yonatan, haya goret nigeret al kvarim, was falling on the graves. He was falling on the graves. Amale Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Chiya said to Rabbi Yonatan, delaya, lift up your tzitzit. Now in those days, you have to understand, they never was tzitzit. Our tzitzit are worse than their tzitzit. Who could tell me why? Say it's outside. Why is our tzitzit worse in the sense of making mockery than their tzitzit?
You're putting it in
the face.
Excellent. We are wearing the garments specifically for the mitzvah. In those days, they wore garments for heat. Poncho, you wore a poncho. And by the way, it's four-cornered garments. You have to put tzitzit. But we are going out of our way to wear four-cornered garments, especially for the mitzvah. And therefore, our tzitzit is worse than their tzitzit. In other words, we're making more of a mockery we wear a tallit out. In those days, they wear a tallit because that's the way they wore, because that's for their garments. But we are wearing one specially for the sake of the mitzvah. It's worse. And it says, we're going to see in halakha, it makes a difference as well.
Were they wearing tefillin?
I'm coming to it. We didn't get to tefillin yet. We're going to come to tefillin. But tallit for sure. It's here, his tzitzit was hanging on the grave. Boy, he's walking and the tzitzit are hanging. I guess he's walking down the path, a very narrow path. And his tzitzit is hanging on the grave. His strings are touching the graves. He said, at least lift up your strings. Lift up the tzitzit. Rabbi Chiya told Rabbi Yonatan, lift up your tzitzit. Kadesh lo yamru. Look what he says. So that the dead people will not say, Lemacha b'ayles lenu, tomorrow they're going to come and join us, these people. They're going to be dead as well. They don't really realize that, right? Now they're making mockery of us. Because one day we're going to meet up with these people. And they're going to say, these are the guys who made mockery of us. Now, right now, they're making, yeah? Right? One day they're going to join us, and today they're making a mockery of us. That's not a good idea. They're shaming us. Why? Because they're putting the tzitzit in our face and saying, hey, we can do it, you can't do it. You can do mitzvot, you can't do mitzvot. You're making a mockery of him, right? No, I can do mitzvot. You can't do mitzvot. Haresh, Rabbi Chiya. Okay, so according to Rabbi Chiya, we see over here the what? The dead are aware of what we do. This is a very important Gemara. That's why I'm bringing this Gemara. This is going to be my talk on Shavuot night in different places. But if you want to follow me around. But this is going to be... are the dead aware of what is going on or not? So according to Rabbi Chiya, so listen, the dead are aware. You're putting your tzitzit on their grave. They're aware of it. And they're talking about you right now. They're going to say, this guy is going to come to us later on. But right now he's making a mockery of us. Rabbi Yonatan says, what are you talking about? They don't know what's going on. This is not a law between me and the dead. This is a law between me and God. It's not a law between me and the dead. So Rabbi Yonatan says, Amale, Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Yonatan says, Miyadeh kuli hai. You see the dead know what's going on. Fakativ, it says in Kohelet chapter 9, in Ecclesiastes, and Shlomo Melech says, Ki hayim yodim shamutu. The dead, the living know they're going to die. Vametim enam yodim meuma. But the dead don't know anything. Explicit. The dead do not know anything. The living, we know we're going to die. We know what's going on around us. We know what's going to happen. We're the source. We don't know exactly when. We know we're all terminal, in a sense. Mm-hmm. However, we don't think so. We are. Okay, it's hard to even think about it. But the dead don't know anything. That's what Kehelet says. The dead do not know anything. Amar le Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Chiya said to him. Look how beautifully he rebuked him. Im karita, if you read this pasuk, lo shanita. You didn't read it twice. You read it once, you didn't read it twice. Bib shanita lo shilashta. If you read it twice, you didn't read it a third time. Bib shilashta, if you read it third time, lo perashnu lecha. They didn't explain it to you. Your rabbi did not explain this pasuk to you. So you read a pasuk once, okay, I understand it. Read it twice, you understand a bit more. You read it three times, you understand a bit more. But if you don't have a rabbi explain it to you, you didn't understand. I'm sorry, Rabbi Yonatan, Rabbi Chiya says, Rabbi Yonatan, you did not understand this pasuk at all. Go back to school, go back to your rabbi, get a right perush. So either you learned it once and you didn't understand it. Either you learned it twice, you didn't understand it. Three times, you didn't understand it. Either three times, and the rabbi didn't explain to you. So you have to go back and do it again. We're at the bottom page. Yudchet, we're three lines up from the bottom. Ki ha'chayim yodim shamutu. So he said, it's not talking about the living and the dead. He's talking about the righteous and the not righteous. Who are the living? Kiyat tzaddiki, elu tzaddikim. Who are the living? These are the righteous who are dead already, they call alive. They're alive in the death. Why are they alive when they're dead? Because they have souls, and the soul lives on forever. So living, even though they're dead, those are the ones who know what's going on. The chayim. Who are the chayim? Not the ones who are living over here in this world. We're not chayim. We have to be alive. We're not alive fully. We're living on one dimension. We're not living on two. We have to be living on two dimensions. So chayim. Chayim yodim. Who are these living? The living are the dead people who are righteous, who are living in the next world. So they're the ones who know. Elu tzadikim shemitatan nikru chayim. They're the righteous who in their death are called alive. Amazing. The righteous in their death are called alive. And they know they're going to die. What do you mean? What does that mean? They know they're going to die. Shlonim alibam, because when they were alive, they knew they're going to die. So that's what makes them righteous in the next world. What makes them righteous in the next world? In this world, they knew they're going to die, and therefore they're preparing for the next world. We don't prepare like Pharaoh prepared. We don't build a big. By the way, they just moved Tutankhamun. They moved him again. They moved him. There's today's news. They moved Tut. Look at it. King Tut, right? King Tut. They preserved him. Whatever it is, he thinks he's going to go on his long journey, and they're moving him around different museums. I'm scared. What a life! This is life after death. These guys are alive. Yeah. So, what is it? It says, the people who are righteous in their death are called alive. What do you mean they're righteous in their death, they're called alive? Because every day they know they're going to die, and therefore they do more mitzvot. It motivates them. Their death motivates them to know that they're going to one day go, and therefore they do more mitzvot. That's the idea. To do more mitzvot. Person's going to do more mitzvot. So, that's Rabbi Chiya says. So, then they're aware. They're alive when they're dead, and therefore they know what's going on. That's what Rav Chiya says. They're alive and they know what's going on. Even though they're dead, they're alive. They're alive. Their souls are alive. And they're called alive even in the death. How do we know? He's going to bring a pasukim now. They're going to bring a pasuk from Shmuel Bet, from Samuel 2. This pasuk is about a very famous individual in Jewish history called Benayahu ben Yehoyada. Benayahu ben Yehoyada was the general of King Shlomo. Shlomo Melech Solomon, King Solomon. Benayahu ben Yehoyada, he was also the head of the Sanhedrin.
He was killed.
He was a big tzaddik, and he captured, we talked about, he did a lot of things. He did a lot of things, which we're not going to go into now, but you can look it up in Samuel Bet. We learned it for those who came on Shabbat afternoons to the classes. We learned about him. And he had the job of killing Yoav and killing other people, whatever, who Shlomo HaMelech wanted to get rid of. Benayahu ben Yehoyada. What is he called? He's called Ben Ish Chai, the son of the living man. One second. This is where, by the way, this pasuk is where Ben Ish Chai got all his books from. He wrote all his books. He named all his books after this verse because he claimed to be the Gilgul of the Benayahu ben Yehoyada. Yeah. And he came from Babylon all the way to Israel to go to his kever, and he was very happy. Anyway, that's the Ben Ish Chai. Benayahu is his name. Benayahu, the son of Yehoyada. But he's also called the Ben Ish Chai. He's called the son of the living man. Who is the son of the living man? Yehoyada, his father. And he's also called Rab Pealim, the master of many works. Mekabsiel, the gatherer, we're going to see. Hu hika et shnei Ariel. He hit the two, literally, Ariel Moab, the lions of Moab. Hu yarad vehika et ari betoch ha-be'er b'yom shalchi. We're going to explain this verse. This is a very, very interesting verse. We're moving on to chapter, page Yudchet Amud Bet, the next side of the page. So the question is, we're going to go through, we're going to dissect this verse word by word. Ben Ish Chai. What is Ben Ish Chai? He's the son of a living man. So Gemara asks, "Atu kuli alma b'nei metu ninu?" You mean he's the only one who's the son of a living man? Everyone else is the son of a dead man. What's he trying to say about him? You know his name was Benayahu, the son of Yehoyada. He's the son of a living man, which means everyone else is dead. What does that mean? Ela Ben Ish Chai perusho afilu b'mitato karui chai, which it's not talking about his father. His father was a righteous person, and as a righteous person, when he's alive, when he's dead, he's alive. That's what it's saying. It's telling us that his father, who is dead, is alive. Because he was righteous. Since the father was righteous, it applies to all righteous people. This is Rabbi Chiya's proof that any righteous people, person who dies, is considered alive. In the next world, they're still alive, while the soul is still going. And he continues. Rab Pealim B'Kabseel. Why is he called Rab Pealim B'Kabseel? Shiribah V'Kibet Poalim L'Torah. He increased the honor of God by learning more Torah. So Mekabsel, he was gathering for God. Who was he gathering? He was gathering people to study Torah for God.
I have a question.
Yes.
So what happens when women provide a tremendous Jewish household?
Beautiful.
And is that is that a parallel to being a woman being righteous?
100%. No question about it. We talked about it. We said that what merit do women have? The merit is when their husbands and their children go learn Torah, they get the merit. Mm-hmm. They get more merit than he does. Why? Because he's wasting time sometimes. Mm-hmm. Whether he wastes time or doesn't waste time, they sent him. So they're getting merits whether he's learning or not learning. The woman's at home and she sent her husband to Kollel. He's at the Kollel and sometimes you chit-chat with your chavruta. She's getting reward for the chit-chat. He's not getting reward for the chit-chat. He's getting the opposite. She's getting reward for the chit-chat. Why? Because she sacrificed his time with her to go to learn. So my wife is getting reward whether I'm learning or not learning. That's the irony. All our wives or whatever, people who sent us here, they're getting reward whether we're learning or not learning. You got to go back and tell your wife. You are getting reward whether I learn or not. She, what? Yeah. Why? Because it's your time I'm spending. You're my partner in life. Okay? So the same thing over here. So he gathered people together to learn Torah. It's a big zechut. He's doing outreach. He was Bnei Yehuda. He was a very big person, gathering people to do outreach. He had the first Esha Torah here. Bnei Yehuda. The first, before, I guess, Moshe Rabbeinu was the first one. You can't be Moshe Rabbeinu. Gather all the Jews together and give the Torah. That's amazing. How can you gather? You try and do that today. Gather every single Jew, take them to Har Sinai. Shavuot, right? They're all over there hearing God.
And they will listen.
They got two mitzvot straight from God. The rest they will say we'll learn from you. Good luck. It's a hard one. Okay. But they're amazing. He gathered them all together. They were all inspired. He knew how to inspire them. He gathered hundreds of thousands of people. Millions of people. So let's continue the Pasuk. So number one is he was Ben Ishchai. Why? Because his father was a Sadiq and his father never died. Why? Spiritually his father was alive. That's where we learn it from. That's Rabbi Chiya's proof. Number two, he was Rabbi Ali Bikapsiel. He was a fast worker. He did a lot of work and he gathered people together to teach them Torah. Number three, who he cut to Shnei Arel ben Moab. He hit the two lions of Moab. What does that mean? That means who are the two lions? The two lions, there's two opinions over here. One opinion says these are the two Batei Mikdash. Two Batei Mikdash. Two temples. In all the times of the two temples, there was no one like him. He was the greatest. Some people say the two lions of Moab were David and Shlomo. In the time of David and Shlomo, there was no one like him. He beat everyone else. Literally, not physically beat them, but he beat them spiritually. He was the top spiritual guy in the world at the time. More than David. How did he do it? How did he get to that level? Huyarad, and then continues. The pasuk continues. Huyarad v'ikat ha'ari b'toch ha'bor b'yom ha'shalik. Literally, it means he went down and killed a lion in the pit on the day of winter, of the day of snow. So what does that mean? It's it's hard to understand what's going on. There's a lion in a pit in the winter day. Snow day. So the Gemara says two opinions. Ikka de Amri, some people say he broke through the ice and dipped in the mikvah to learn Torah. So in other words, his Yetzirah was like a lion. It's too cold out there. Don't go out there. It's cold to go in the mikvah. You had to break the ice to go to the mikvah. He went out on a cold winter's day, smashed the ice and went into the mikvah and defied his Yetzirah. That's how he killed the lion. The lion is like the Yetzirah. Okay. That's the first opinion. Second opinion. Because the Amri, some people say, the Tana Sifra the Be'er Rav Yom HaDisitra. I like this one. Why? Because it's a winter's day, and it's cold. People don't like learning Torah in the cold. It's too cold. It's like, I don't have Yishuv Adad. Like, you sit in the air conditioning, you sit in the heating, it's nice. You can learn Torah nicely. But if it's cold, how are you going to learn? It's freezing. So no one comes to the Beit Midrash, because it's freezing. He sat in the Beit Midrash and he finished the whole book of Vayikra. He finished the whole book of Vayikra with all the commentaries. That's the Chiddush. And that's what it means. He broke the ice and he learned the Sifra. The Sifra is the book of Vayikra. Torah Kohanim. Sifra the Beirab. It's a commentary on the book of Vayikra. V'yom echad b'choref. In one winter's night, one winter's day, a short day, very short day, he learned the whole book of Vayikra with the commentary. Amazing. Brilliant. Genius. So that was his praise. Okay, what we got from this issue is the idea that his father was Ben Ishchai. His father was a living man. We learn over there that what a tzaddik when he's dead is called living. That's the proof. That's what we brought from here. Mm-hmm. If you remember that part, that's the part you need to understand.
His father was one of the people who never died?
No, his father died. But a tzaddik in his death is considered alive. That's what we're proving. Tzaddik in his death is considered alive.
He's only called Ishchai after he died?
Yeah. He is called the son of the living man. After he's dead, how can it be? Everyone else is a son of a dead man. So the answer is no. If he's a righteous person, he's alive as well. Everyone's righteous is alive. Okay.
Are you saying that in
Ben Yahu was the son of Ben Ishchai. He was the son of Ishchai.
Oh, so,
so Ben Ishchai is Ben Yahu. He's the son of the living man. His father was a tzaddik. Yes, his father was a living man. His father was a tzaddik. Now we're moving on. So one second, we just... So Rabbi Yonatan had asked the question. He says, but the other pasuk says, Hameti b'enem yodim me'uba. The dead do not know anything. So we said before that the living know when they're going to die, but the dead don't know anything. That's the pasuk in Kohelet. So we explained the first part. We said the dead, the living know when they're going to die. That's talking about people who are dead already, who are tzaddikim, but they're alive. What about the second part of the pasuk where the dead don't know anything? Yeah,
because he said Ben Ishchai is living.
That's talking about a righteous person who's dead. But here we're talking about the dead do not know anything. Which dead are we talking about? Elu reshaim shegam b'chayim nikrei mitim. These are wicked people who even in their lifetime are called dead. Wow. Yeah. Person walking around looks pretty alive to me. But spiritually dead. Mm. The people who look good, they're tanned and they go to the gym every time. They look great. They look alive to me, but something is spiritually dead. They can't connect with the divine. There's a missing. So that is it's a very harsh kind of idea. But we have to understand that we have people who are physically sick and we have people who are spiritually sick. Mm. We have people who are physically healthy and people who are spiritually healthy. There's different kinds. The ideal is to have both, physically healthy and spiritually healthy. Yeah. So that's the ideal, but it's hard to get.
Are they aware, or do they know something?
They know. They can tell. How can they tell? How can a person tell if they're spiritually awake or not? If they find interest in what we're doing now, that means there's spiritual sensitivity. If they find they like going to shul, it's a spiritual sensitivity. Why would you want it? If they like doing mitzvot, spiritual sensitivity. If they like doing kindness, acts of kindness. Mm-hmm. It's a spiritual sensitivity. A lot of Jews have this spiritual sensitivity. Like doing acts of kindness. Everyone likes to do mitzvot. There's nothing a Jew who does not do mitzvot. Reish Lakish says, even the worst Jews are full of mitzvot like a pomegranates. And that's why we eat pomegranates on Rosh Hashanah. That's the reason. Every Jew is full of pomegranates. There's different types. You know, I like this and you like that and you like that. It's like, not all of us like to learn the same material. I like, this is very interesting material, by the way. This is very interesting material.
Just go to the gym after.
Go to the gym after. To your body and your soul. Okay. But it's interesting, you see these old rabbis, they never went to gym in a day in their life. And they're living to 101, 102, and they barely eat. Maybe that's the secret. And their mind is working all the time.
And they barely sleep.
And they barely sleep. I don't know.
Yeah. That's a Chinese problem. To be healthier, eat less, and to live longer, worry less.
Yeah, I guess that's it. But they worry about other people. You see lines of people climbing up. It's amazing. How do they deal with it? I go crazy. You have 50, 60 people every day coming into the house to get brachot and telling them all the troubles. I mean, it's heartbreaking. Heart-wrenching. I don't know how they do it, honestly. And they live to it. It's a miracle. It's one of the miracles we have to do some research. It's a spiritual health. It's definitely no question. Hashem gives them energies. Moshe Rabbeinu is 120 years old. It says, his eyes were not dim. Nothing. 120 years old, and he's burying the Jews for 40 years. How did he do that? Can't he do it for 2 weeks? Had a guy here came once to. He was an assistant rabbi, and he came here for 2 weeks. And he says, "That's it. I'm giving up being a rabbi. I don't want to be a rabbi anymore. It's just too much.
It's very hard.
It's too much." But it's not true. You just got to bear it. Okay. You gotta find fun. Okay. Alright, so what do we do with these dead people? So these dead people who do not know anything, which Qehelet says, they don't know anything. What is it talking about? It's talking about the wicked people in their lifetime are called dead. Wow. They lost their souls. They're called walking dead. They're walking dead. And it's a very narrow gap between that and suicide. They're already walking dead, so that suicide, what difference does it make? I mean, you see, many people, they're depressed completely there. Their souls have left them. There's no joy in life. So it's a very short gap between that and the physical death. It's interesting. So spiritual death is... But people's empty in life. There's a lot of emptiness in life. You go to a concert, you go to want to hear one of these concerts. But what does it give you? What does it give you inside? What is it? How does it fill up your soul? It doesn't really fill up your soul. You go to a comedy club, it doesn't really fill up your soul. It empties your soul. It's nothing there. But a person's got to be sensitive to it. Okay. So that's a dead person who is not aware. What is a dead person not aware? A person who's alive, who's walking dead. He's not aware of anything. Not aware of God, not aware of mitzvot, not aware of nothing.
A cable show.
Now we're going to bring a proof. And we're going to bring a proof, Shneimar, as it says in Prophet Yechezkel, about the king of Israel. Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, who is one of the last kings of Judah. Tzidkiyahu. V'ata Chalal Rasha, Nasi Yisrael. He called Tzidkiyahu Chalal Rasha, a dead evil man. But he's alive. He said he's a dead evil man, but he's alive. So we see over there what? Even though he's alive, he's called dead. You have people who are alive and they're spiritually dead, and therefore he's called dead. Even though the Gemara says in different places that he was a tzaddik. Zedekiah was a tzaddik, so why is he called a dead evil man? Because he never rebuked the people. He was the king. He had an opportunity to give musar to the people. He didn't. He just let them do whatever they wanted. But it didn't help him. So Yehezkel pointed out, Yehezkel says, it's very hard, it's a very hard job to rebuke other people. Okay. Or that's the first. So how many proofs do we have so far? So we have a proof, number one, is from the verse which Rabbi Yonatan quoted. The living know when they're going to die, but the dead don't know anything. Rabbi here twisted around. He says, the living know when they're going to die. These are the people who are dead already, who are righteous, who are dead already, they're living. And the people who don't know anything are the dead people, which are living people who are dead because they're spiritually dead. Twist everything around. Second proof is that, that Tzidkiyahu, the king, was called a dead, even though he's alive. You're wicked dead, even though he's alive. So you see that what? It doesn't matter whether you're alive or dead. It depends whether you are spiritually alive or dead. Third proof, Ibai Demo. Another proof, Miacha, from here. And this is the best proof. This is the best proof. For me, at least, I think it's the best proof. And that's the last proof. That's the last best proof. Al Pish Naim Edim, Al Pish Losha Edim Yumatamet. The Torah says, in Devarim Yudzai, I think it's Parashah Shoftim, right? That by two or three witnesses, a dead person will die. It doesn't say a living person will die. It's all about capital punishment, right? Mm-hmm. Your two people say this guy did this and this guy did it. He murdered someone. Two people or three people, dead. But it says, Yumat Hamet, the dead person will die. One second. He's not dead. He's alive. You're going to kill him. Proof is that he's considered dead already. Why is he dead already? He's a wicked person. Since he's evil and he's a murderer, he's dead already. Two people require two witnesses to kill a dead person. My language. This is in the Torah. You can't argue with this. This is right in the Torah. This is explicit. Chapter 17 of Devarim, of Deuteronomy. You can look it up. Api Shnayim Shlosha Edim Yumat Hamet. The dead person will die. It doesn't say a living person will die. It says a dead person will die. So we see over there that even though he's alive, Chayu El Hamet Mikara, he's spiritually dead. So we see the evil people in their lifetime are considered dead. So you got all these people on death row, murderers. In Jewish idea, they're dead already. They're dead because spiritually they're dead. How can you be an evil person to kill someone? Innocent people. You kill innocent people. I mean, the guy blew himself up. He's dead before he blew himself up.
Yeah.
He's walking dead. He's evil.
So what happened in Manchester, the guy...
That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, yeah. He blew himself up. But before, I'm saying, even before he blew himself up, when he's alive, he's dead. Right. He's evil. You want to kill innocent people, you're evil people. Okay, let's go on. We haven't finished this debate. So, Rabbi Chiya says, a dead person is aware of what's going on. Rabbi Yonatan says, he's not. That was a machloke we had. But then Rabbi Chiya lafut l'kreta. Now this is interesting because Rabbi Chiya now passed away. This is a story that comes next generation. And his sons go. In those days you had homesteads, I guess, where you had land in a different place. Your farms. So they would learn the yeshiva. And they'd go to their farms when it's time for plowing and pruning and planting, whatever it is. They would go 2 months a year, basically. Get a farm 2 months a year. Why? You plow when? Planting season. I guess it's around springtime. And then you harvest. That's it. But then your job for the whole year. Can you imagine? Fantastic. I'm sure it's not so simple. But that's what it was. I think the Rav used to say to his students, he said, I don't want to see your faces in these 2 months. Because you're not going to be able to support yourself the rest of the year if you don't work on those 2 months. So 2 months a year for a farmer is not bad. So here they had the sons of Rabbi Chiya. So Rabbi Chiya is the one who says the dead are aware of what's going on with the dead. His sons now, we got a story from his sons, amazing. His sons now, Nafik Likriyata, they go to do business in their homestead. They're leaving the yeshiva to go to the homestead. Yakalehu Talmudayu. In those days, nothing was written down. The Talmud was not written down. They forgot their Talmud. They forgot what they learned in the yeshiva. They're so busy with their work and the plowing and the pruning and whatever it is and they're doing. They forgot all their learning. And they were trying, they were in pain to get back what they forgot. I'm trying to remind, what did I learn? What did we learn about? What did we talk about? Sometimes it happens today, you know. You go home and say, what do we talk about in the class? So they would pain themselves to remind themselves, because the only way you're going to remember it is by going back and remembering over again. So they're paying themselves. They're in pain. So one of them said to his friend, two sons, Rabbi Chiya, two sons. One said to the other son, Yada avun b'hai tzara. Do you think our father who's dead knows how much pain we're in? Can he see our pain? Can he sense our pain? Do you think he knows our pain?
Yeah.
Amar le'idach, the other one said, Mina yada. How's he going to know? Imagine the two sons of Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya says the dead is aware. The sons of Rabbi Chiya have the same question. Is the dead aware or not? So one son says, you think our father's aware? And the other son says, no way! He quotes the pasuk in Yov. In book of Job, chapter 14, verse 21, Yichabdu banav velo yeda. His sons of the dead person are honored, and the dead does not know. Amaleida avchilo yeda. Is it possible he doesn't know? Vakativ, it says straight away in the next pasuk, Ach besaro alav yichab nafsho alav te'avil. It says by a dead person that his soul is in mourning for himself, and his flesh is in pain for himself. Mm. He's in pain and mourning of himself. So a dead person must be aware of what's going on, because in mourning for himself. Imagine a person dies, they're mourning their own body. They're mourning their own death. Mm. It's terrible. It's tragic. Mm. Their vessel's broke. It's like smashed. Imagine a person sees the house burnt down, they see they're mourning the house burnt down, or the car smashed. Bar Minan, should have happened. But how much more so they see their own body gone. Mamar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak says on this pasuk, Kashari ma lemet kemachat batzachai. This is a very interesting statement. A worm is hard for a dead body like a needle in the flesh, living flesh.
Wow.
So the commentaries say they're talking about a worm from the same body, not someone else's worm. It's not about worms from another part. It's a worm is created from his own body, one's own flesh. The worms are attacking oneself. You create the worms yourself and they're attacking you. What's the worst pain? That one's own children or one's own family is attacking them. You're creating your own attackers. Bar Minna is the worst thing. So he says that it's hard for a dead person to have a worm the same way it is to poke oneself with a needle. Boy, I've been poked a lot of times. Last few days. They get you all over. So the dead person feels more pain than a living person. Dead person feels more pain of the worms than the living person feels of the needles. So what do we see over there? That what we see is the dead person is aware of what's going on. So Gemara says, no, that's not good proof. Why? Why? Amri. But Sarah did who? He knows his own pain. He doesn't know other people's pain. He can sense his own pain because that's him. But he doesn't sense other people's pain. But other people's pain, Lo Yadi doesn't know. Okay, so that's... So Rabbi Chiya says the dead person is aware of what's going on. Rabbi Yonatan says the dead person is not aware of what's going on. The two sons of Rabbi Chiya has a discussion. One opinion says they do know where it's going on. But the Gemara says that's only... Your proof is only good if it's pain for himself. He's not aware of pain for other people. But now we're moving on. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? The dead person doesn't know. Hatanya, we learned in a brighter Maasei B'Chassid Yisrael. Now we come to this famous story which we are talking about for 2-3 weeks. You've got 20 minutes. Okay, good. Got time to discuss it. There was a story of Chassid Echad, one pious person. So Gemara, the commentary says there's only two pious people in the whole of Shas. Rabbi Huda ben Baba and Rabbi Huda bar Ilai. It's one of the two. Rabbi Huda bar Ilai, Rabbi Huda ben Baba. Usually it's Rabbi Huda bar Ilai. So Rabbi Huda bar Ilai was one of the students of Rabbi Akiva, five students of Rabbi Akiva. When you say Rabbi Huda, the Mishnah we just learned today, the Mishnah Rabbi Huda says so-and-so, that Rabbi Huda is Rabbi Huda bar Ilai. He was a Chassid Echad. He was one of the most pious people of the generation. We can't even imagine what he was like, plus he was very poor. We're going to see. Okay. So here, it doesn't say his name explicitly, it says there was a pious person. Chassid Echad. Shenatan dinar le'ani. He gave a poor person a dinar. A dinar is a gold coin worth a fortune, 100 silver coins. Price of gold today is over $1,200 an ounce, so it's a lot of money. He gave a poor person, walks in, he gave $1,200.
And he had nothing left.
That's his wife's attitude. You what? Be'erev Rosh Hashanah, it was Erev Rosh Hashanah. B'shnat besoret, in time of famine. Think about it. It's a famine season, and he's giving away so much money, it's hard-earned money, I don't know where he got the money from. Vignitato ishto, and his wife got crazy about it. His wife drove him nuts. She fought with him. What? You gave him a dinar? You gave what? You gave all our money away? What's going on? Erev Rosh Hashanah, we have nothing? Hard to imagine. Yeah,
it's a verum, right?
Huh?
In a vera, he did, no?
It doesn't say it's a vera. Let's see what the end of the story is. You're going to see how Hashem is going to reward this man. Let's see. What happens? Halach. He had nowhere to go. Halach v'lan b'takvaro. He went and slept in the cemetery. Doghouse, right? He's in the doghouse. Okay. So this story about Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eli, the Marsha says, and he was very, very poor. He himself was very poor, and he gave whatever he had to the poor person, and he just got married. Can you imagine? After you get probably all his wedding presents, he gave it away. It's very hard. People come all the time. It's just hard to make that balance. It's so hard. So what happens? He's out in the doghouse. 14. He's in the Beit HaKvarot. He's in the cemetery. Now, there's a big machloket over here. Do you take this literally or not? Are you allowed to go and sleep in a cemetery, especially Rosh Hashanah? It's not kavod to sleep.
Yeah.
Some people said he slept near the cemetery. He didn't sleep in the cemetery.
Could learn the
roof. I don't know. I don't know. Okay. So, did he sleep in the cemetery or was it? It's a metaphorical cemetery.
Yeah.
He had a dream. He's trying to ask what's going on. And this is a very interesting topic. Are you allowed to ask dead people? Are you allowed to go? Torah says no. What does Torah say? No, of no yidoni, v'doresh al amitim. You're not allowed to go and ask questions from the dead.
Really? So,
yeah. You're not allowed to ask seances, Ouija boards, what's it called? Ouija?
Ouija.
Ouija? Oh, that's Ouija? I say Ouija.
That's okay.
It's French. Okay, Ouija. It's a Ouija board. So Ouija boards, are you allowed to? It happened over here, a kid. He comes back very, very disturbed. He said a guy from his school came in with the Ouija board to his house. He's a kid from yeshiva. What's going on over here? Luckily, his mother threw him out. But nothing happened anyway. He tried it. Nothing happened. It was very, very, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to mess around with the dead. You're not allowed to ask questions to the dead. So questions, what's going on? Let's see what's going on. So he goes, let's take this story literally, and then we'll go into commentaries and see what's going on. He went to sleep in the cemetery because his wife basically threw him out of the house. He didn't want to fight with his wife. That's one opinion. The second opinion says he was trying to control his anger. One of the ways to control your anger is by thinking about the day of death. So he goes to the cemetery.
Sadiq.
He's a Hasid. Not a Sadiq, he's a Hasid. He's a high brother. Number three is he didn't want the neighbors to hear what's going on. So he left the house. Instead of fighting with her and raising his voice, he just quit. Shamash Teruchot. Now he's in the cemetery. And he hears two voices. Scary stuff. He has two voices of souls. The souls are talking. And these souls are Shte Yeladot, two girls. That's interesting. How can you tell? The girls, boys. I mean, you hear a voice of a soul. I mean, it has a voice. So obviously, it can't be taken literally. You don't hear a voice. You hear a voice in your head. You know, hearing voices like I'm hearing, you're hearing me right now. Right? He's hearing two voices talking. Two girls are talking. Who died? And they're chatting to each other. You can see the stories about women, right? Because they're chatting to each other. Amra chad el chaverta. One said to the friend, chaverti, my friend, boy, come with me. Vinashut ba'olam. Let's go walk around the world. Let's go around the world. Let's go and fly around the world. Vinishma mechori aparagud. Let's see what Hashem is planning for the next year. Let's go and find out. We'll go behind the curtain. Whatever the curtain is. We said every world, we talked about this on Monday nights, every world has a masach. Has a break between it and another next world.
They call it a curtain?
Paragud. Whatever the paragud is, it's a break between the previous world and the world of next world. What troubles will come to this world and this world? Now, this is a massive proof. That what? That the souls want to know what's going on.
And they do.
So what troubles are coming to the world? Amra lachavret, and this is very interesting. A friend said, "Eni yechola, I can't come with you. I am buried in a cane basket, wickerwork basket." Why? So we said there's two opinions over here. One opinion says that what you're buried in is what you look like. And that's why you bury white shrouds. That's the way the soul looks like. It's got nice white clothes, like a toga. You're walking around a toga in your next world. But she never had a toga. She never had a white cloud. She had a cane basket. She was ashamed, embarrassed to go around like that in the heavens above. It's very strange. That's a Ritva. The Ritva says that. Then you have the Slach. The Slach says that the soul is not released until its body decays. And since she was buried in a cane basket, her body did not decay properly, and therefore she had to wait. Her soul was not released from the body yet. Yes, but they're different. Tzadikim are different because they're alive even after they're dead. In other words, there's no separation. I don't know exactly. That's a good question. A very good question. Hold on to that because we're going to come to that. We talk about Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. And that's going to be one of the last proofs over here. Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, you can't get better than that, right? Let's see. So, this is interesting. So, she couldn't get out. Her friend could not get out and go with her because she was buried in this cane wicker wicker basket. So either because she was embarrassed to go around like that, some kind of spiritual representation of this wicker wicker basket is going to go around with her, or her body did not decay, which we're going to see even the next year also. It took a while for her body to decay. So she wasn't released. Her soul was not released yet. That's why it's very important to bury someone in a kosher coffin. It has holes in it.
It's only Rosh Hashanah. This only happens in Rosh Hashanah.
What?
This episode happens every year in Rosh Hashanah.
We'll see. We're going to see. But this particular story, yes. This particular story happens in Rosh Hashanah.
In the old Rome, the world in Rosh Hashanah.
Why? Because in Rosh Hashanah, all the decrees are passed. So the commentary says the second night of Rosh Hashanah, not the first night. The first day is when all the decrees are passed. So she wanted to go and find out what's going on. What happened already? What decrees were passed?
That's what she was trying to find.
So this is now the second night of Rosh Hashanah, he comes back. So, Amra Lachaverta, I can't come with you. I'm buried in this cane wickerwork basket. So it's very important. A kosher coffin has to have holes drilled into the coffin. It's not good to get a very strong coffin, which stops all the moisture and stuff. It's very important for the body to go back. Drill holes at the bottom. No, you won't find.
I never did.
If you look at the bottom, if it's not there, then it's not kosher.
Really?
Orthodox, you've got to ask for an Orthodox coffin. What's an Orthodox coffin? And the answer is there's holes that's drilled in the bottom of the hole. It's holy. Exactly.
In Israel, they don't even have.
Exactly. In Israel, it's better. No coffin. It's straight. They wrap you in the tachrichin, in the cloth, and in the ground. That's the best. That's the ideal. Because, again, for this reason. Yeah. You see how important it is.
Is it for legal reasons here that you're not allowed?
Yes. It's legal reasons. Because, I don't know what. They want the body to decompose before it goes back into the soil, into the water. Don't tell anyone we make holes, okay? Don't tell anyone we put the holes in it. Keep it to yourself, okay? Looks pretty solid, okay? So her friend said, right? Ella lechiat, you go. Umashiat shamad, really, and tell me what you find out. Interesting. She was concerned. She was interested. So we see over here that what the dead are interested in what's going on. Halchahi v'shataba. That's where it went. And he's hearing everything now. He hears the spirit go, and the spirit comes back. She said to her friend, "Chaverti, my friend, ma shamati machoriya paragud. Guess what I heard?" Amrala, she said, "What? Shamati shekola zorea berivah rishada. A person who plants their seed in the first rains. There are three rains during the year. First rains, the first time it rains in the year in Israel, which is the 17th of Cheshvan. Barad malkeoto." It's going to be hailed straight after, and the whatever's going to be planted is going to be destroyed. If you plant it the first time it rains, everything's going to be destroyed. Halachu, hear this? Well, this is great information. He goes and he plants at the second rain. He doesn't plant the first rain. He's the only one. Everyone rained, they planted. He plants the second rain. Halachu v'zalab rivashniyah. He plants the second rains. Shekol ha'olam kulo, all the grain of everyone else, which was planted on the 17th of Cheshvan, was destroyed by the barad, was destroyed by the hail. But his, he's making money. He's making tons of money. Lola guy, this is the only grain allowed. He sold a fortune. He made a fortune, this guy. He made a killing. Hashem rewarded him, you see. He gave the gold to the poor man. Hashem has a way of rewarding people. The Shana Acheret, so now he's getting smart. The next year, 1 second, 1 second. Next year, he does the same thing. Goes to the cemetery and sleep. Now he didn't have a fight with his wife. His wife's very happy now. But he goes and he sleeps.
He planned to fight again?
No, he didn't fight. This time he just ran away. He ran away to the cemetery. He didn't tell her, but maybe he just ran down the window. I don't know what happened.
He gave her the money and went on purpose to sleep with his
cemetery. This Hasid went to sleep in the cemetery. He heard the same two voices. And one said to a friend, let's go and fly around and see what's going on, what the decrees are made on this world. And a friend said, I already told you I can't. So the question is, why did she ask her again? So according to the second explanation, it's very easy. Maybe her body did dissolve in the meantime. Lechiyad, you go. Mashiyad shumat boy, and what you hear, you come and tell me. Hachav shataba. She went and she came back. Amrala, and she said to her friend, Haberti, ma shamat mechorei pergud. What did you hear? Amrala, shamati shikol azorei b'riva shniya. She dafon malke oto. I heard that whoever planted the second rain, there's going to be a dry wind, which is going to dry everything up. So he went, this chassid went, and he planted the first rain. Wow. So now everyone else planted the second rain, because the first time the rain was the hail destroyed the first. So he was the only one left with the crops. Shelo lo nishtaf. His was not pushed up, blown away. Ama lo ishto. His wife says something funny going on over here. You're making money. What's going on over here? This is suspicious. He should never talk to her. He should never tell anything.
But he did.
Never tell the wife why. Because the secret's out. The secret's out the bag. The cat's out the bag. And that's the end of that story. Let's see. So his wife said, what happened? Last year, everything was destroyed. Everyone else's crops were destroyed by the hail. Your grain was not destroyed. And this year, everything's blown away, and yours was not. So he told her everything. Big mistake. She never told her. He told her what happened. The night of Rosh Hashanah, he went to the cemetery, he heard the voices. He told her about, imagine, he told her which girl it was.
Yeah.
He and told the girl, and she was buried in this cane basket.
She knew her?
It wasn't long before, you see, his wife was a kind of argumentative type. She had an argument with the mother of the girl who was buried in the cane wicker basket. And she tells her, it's chutzpah, this is terrible. It's terrible. Lechi ve'erech b'tech, she kvura machzer shel karim. It's like, despite this woman, she said, look, let's go and see your daughter. She's buried in this cane wicker basket. It's disgusting. So what happens? So now he's trying for the third time. He goes to the cemetery a third time. He went and slept in the cemetery. He hears the two voices again. She says, same one. Let's go and fly around and see what's going on in the worlds above and see what the laws will be on this world. She said, leave me alone. What we're talking about, people know about already.
The secret is out.
But so we see over here. What do we see over here?
But he got paid for 2 years for one tzedakah.
I don't know how much it was. He gave he got one dinar, which is a gold coin.
And he got 2 years of...
Okay. 2 good years.
This is the...
Alma Yadi. So the Gemara says, we see over here that the dead are aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
The Gemara says no. That's the bottom of the... Bottom line where it is, the Gemara says, yes, the dead knew what's going on. We see that the women, these girls know. Someone's talking about them. They know what's going to happen. The rain, this and that, the other. So Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe there was a person from this world who passed away and told them what's going on. They themselves didn't know what's going on. Someone else passed away, and they tell this woman, you know, your mother had a fight with this so-and-so, and she said, you're buried, da-da-da-da-da. She didn't know. By herself, the soul doesn't know. But if someone passed away, they can come in with a fresh information. It's amazing.
Yeah.
You get fresh information in the next world by someone else coming there who you knew, who tell you what's going on in this world. There's no newspapers, but there's information. It's amazing. It's an amazing concept. You can be updated for the latest guy who comes. You're updated. What's the latest information in the next world? In this world, tell him, your mother, by the way, had a fight with so-and-so, and that so-and-so said you're buried in a cane basket. So how did he know? His husband told her. How did the husband know? He was sleeping in the cemetery. That's how he found out. So therefore, we're not going to discuss this anymore. There's someone listening over here. It's interesting. So you can bring a proof from here. They didn't know someone was listening. They weren't aware of what's going on around them. Mm. Interesting. No one talks about it. I want to, you know, make a note of here. I'm going to remind me to make a note of here. That here's a proof that they didn't know that there's someone listening until they heard from someone else that someone's listening.
The other question is
why they mind? Because it's getting back and causing machlokim between her mother's getting pain now.
Her mother's alive?
Yeah, the mother was fighting with the other one. Okay. The chassid's wife. Okay, now we're going to bring another proof that the dead do know what's going on. Tashma, come on and hear a proof. This is another proof. Zairi. In theory, was the name of a rabbi. Hava b'mafkid zuze be'ushpiz zechte. He would put money with his innkeeper. Okay, so he had, I guess, he would rent a room and he'd give the money, look after the innkeeper, would look after his money. His housekeeper, huh?
The house safe.
The front desk, okay. So what happens? He, by the time he goes to the yeshiva and comes back, she died. He gave her money. She died. Where's my money? Well, she's dead. No, you can't get your money back. What does he do? Azal batra lachatzar mavet. He went into, it's interesting, over here it doesn't say he went to the cemetery. He went to the courtyard of death. Some people say it's a cemetery. To ask her. Amala, he said to her, Zuzi Hecha, where's my money? Amala, she said to him, Zil shakilna mitutez besunura de dasha bedon palach. Go and take them from, it's inside the door hinge. The hinge of the door is empty. There's a space over there. All the money's inside the hinge of the door.
It's a big hinge.
And then, furthermore, she says, Vemala. Okay. Le'ima at shader li mazarkai v'koftai v'kuchla b'hadi p'linta d'ati ala machar. And also tell my mother that she should send me my comb and my blue dye for my eyes, the piece, that piece. So put the blue dye in my eyes. So you see over here, they do know what's going on. So the question is, what's going on over here? Well, she wants a comb, you need a comb in the next world. And the answer is, she died very young, and she was still attached to these things. Soul still attached to what they had over there. It's a very strange story. So Gemara says, no, that's not good proof. Why? How does she know? Dilma, Duma. So she's saying that's, tomorrow someone's going to come, someone is going to die, one of my friends is going to die, send with her the comb and the thing. So she knew that something's going to happen, someone's going to die.
How are they going to send it in the grave?
So Gemara says, I don't know. So Gemara says, that's not proof. Why? Maybe the angel of death, the angel of the dead, Duma is the angel of the dead people. Kadim Machrizlhu. Maybe he announces the next world who's going to die. That's how she knew. She didn't know the person's going to die from this world, she knew for the person's going to die from the next world. Imagine, before a person dies, there's an announcement in heaven. So and so and so and so is going to pass away.
Arrivals.
Yeah, there's a preparation ceremony. There's a red carpet if he's an important person, going to see. Important person. The Gemara continues. To bring another proof that the dead know what's going on. And this is a very beautiful Gemara. Tashma, come in here. Another proof. The father of Shmuel, he would collect money for orphans. And people would put money with him. Look after. The orphans would put money with him to look after their money. What happened? He passed away. When he died, Shmuel was not there. He didn't know where the money was. Terrible. So imagine his father would collect money and the orphans would give him money to look after. And then his father died and no one knew where the money is. So now what are the orphans doing? The orphans are crying to Shmuel. Shmuel was the chief rabbi of Nardea. He's the chief rabbi. And they would call him a name. They called Shmuel Bar Achil Zuze Diyadmi, the son of the one who took out all our money of the poor people, of the orphans. You can't take this anymore. Everyone's, you know, they're giving a bad rap. Giving Shmuel a bad name. His father stole from the orphans. Azel Abatre Chatzar Mavet. So Shmuel also went to this place, this Chatzar Mavet, whatever this is, we're going to see. Some people say it's a dream. Where you can make the angel, you can make them swear and get information from them. He goes there and he sees all the dead people in his vision or whatever it is in a half circle. Interesting. Outside the graves. Sitting in a half circle. These are the guys who didn't go up. The guys sitting around the graves. You go to the cemetery, you don't know who's there. You think you're just stones, but there's souls of people who couldn't get up. They're stuck over there. Terrible. So he sees over there these souls over there. Amalei Baina Abba. He says, call me my father. That was his name. The father's name was Abba. Amule, they told him, Abba Tuvaika Kaha. There's so many people called Abba over here. It's a very common name. Abba means father. So. Baina, he said, bring me Abba Bar Abba. Abba, the son of Abba. Oh boy. He says, Abba, son of Abba. There's also so many Abba, the sons of Abba over here. So he says, okay, Abu Ad Shmuel, bring me the father of Shmuel.
This is Shmuel asking this.
Shmuel's asking, bring me Abba. He says, there's any Abbas. Bring me Abba, the son of Abba. There's many Abba, the son of Abbas. So bring me Shmuel, the son of Abba ben Abba. Amar lehu ba'ina. Okay. Echa, where is he? Amrulei salik le'mitrifta derkia. He is in the yeshiva in the world above. In other words, he's not here. Where is he? He's up in the yeshiva. He got elevated. That's ideal, to get elevated to the yeshiva lemana. Ha'achi hazya the Levi yativ abrai. One of his friends was a guy called Levi, also a big rabbi. Levi. Is Levi never going up? Levi is still over there. He wasn't sitting in the half circle. He was outside the half circle, but sitting over there. He's outside. The soul is there. He said, "Amai yatvi abrai." He said, "Why are you sitting over there outside the circle?" "Vod my time alo salakt." He says, "Why didn't you go up? Why did you go up to the yeshiva?" "Amar lelevi." Levi said, "Abrili." They told me, "Kol ki hanach shnei de lo salikat lemitivta de rav afes." This is a very interesting story. We don't have time for it. Maybe we'll do it after some other time. I'm going to leave you hanging over here. Why is Levi not in the circle? Plus, he's not in the yeshiva shalmala. So you're going to come back next week. Next week is Shavuot. You have to follow me around. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha. Amen. Atzak Hadosh Baruch Hu. Lezbar Zavir. Amen. Adonai chafes zman tzko yagdil t'ra'a v'yadir. Amen.